Right, it is Saturday the 29th of November 2025. My name's John Abrams and I'm making a recording on behalf of Witney and District Museum Oral History Group. With me, I have in the room an assistant who is...
I am Emma Morse and I work alongside John as a volunteer for Witney and District Museum. And it's a pleasure to be here today.
And I am introducing a man who I've known for many, many years, unfortunately for him. Would you tell us your name, sir?
Yes, my name is Patrick Russell.
And?
I am Jennifer Russell.
Pat's wife.
Yes.
I've just known where he lived for so long.
Yes.
Right. Today we're going to talk about your career as a police officer and a little bit about what happened before you became a police officer. So, where were you born, Pat?
I was born in the city of Bristol in December 1940.
And what? How did you get to Oxfordshire then?
My parents seemed to have a nomadic trait for some reason, because my father was only a clerk in the solicitor's office, but they seemed to like moving. And we moved roughly every couple of years for some unknown reason. A lot of it was to do with housing. They used to buy quite run-down houses and spend the time doing them up, and then they could upgrade a little bit each time. So
right.
I think that's what a lot of it is to do. But why so many moves and why so widespread, I'm not quite sure.
So eventually you end up at...
I ended up my schooling in Oxford, and they then moved to, I left school and went to work on a farm in Gloucestershire with my brother.
Right. So when did you arrive in Oxfordshire to become a police cadet?
Yes, that was in I joined the police in 1957. I left school in 1956, so I had just over a year on the farm.
Right, so what made you join the police cadets?
Farming was a bit like slavery. I used to work for 4 weeks without a day off, from 7 o'clock in the morning till 5 at night, out in all winds and weathers. It was a filthy, heavy job, and in the harvesting time we used to work until it got dark, and I earned a grand sum of £4 a week.
So the police cadets were going to pay more, were they?
Yes, I went to £5 a week.
So who?
I always wanted an outdoor job.
Yes, fair enough. You were employed then by Oxfordshire?
Oxfordshire County Council as a police cadet clerk.
Right, and where were you stationed?
I was stationed at Banbury Police Station, which is the older police station of the two now.
And what was basically your various jobs as a police cadet?
Yes, it was mostly on the telephone switchboard. Every call in and out of the police station was recorded in brief, the telephone number and the person's name, what the call was about, and if it was to one of the offices, you had to record the office that it went to and action it. Connected.
Right. Did you listen to the calls?
No.
Oh, you've no idea what was said. What a pity. No. So you don't know whether they were private or police.
Yeah, no. Once we plugged it in, that was it. That was the end of it.
So was the police station very active at that time?
Oh, very. Yeah, very active.
Why?
We also dealt with public inquiries, lost and found property, found dogs, bicycles.
Were you assisted by a policeman, a qualified
man? There was a station duty officer with us all the time. In fact, it was so busy that there was quite often two cadets dealing with the switchboard, which was extremely busy, as you can imagine. There was a constant stream of calls in and out, and often calls waiting to be answered.
Did you have any powers as a police cadet?
No, not
in addition to what you had as an ordinary citizen?
No, just the ordinary citizens.
And how long were you in Banbury, or did you move on from there?
No, I stayed in Banbury until I reached the age of 19 in 1959, when I went to Ensham Hall for 3 months initial training, and then was posted to Witney.
Ensham Hall, where's that?
Ensham Hall. It's now a very posh hotel that we couldn't possibly afford to stay in, unless you're a superstar or a multi-millionaire.
Well, what was the Ensham Hall like in your days? What did it consist of? Who was there?
It was number 5 District Police Training Centre, and police forces from Essex, Hertfordshire, Norfolk, Oxford City, and several other forces all sent their officers for their initial training courses there.
So when did you actually become a police officer? Before you'd finished training or afterwards?
Yes, I was still a cadet technically while I was there. In fact, I had my 19th birthday at Ensham Hall and then was posted to Witney, where I was sworn in as a police constable.
So what were the subjects that you undertook at Ensham Hall?
Oh, a wide range of all the Acts of Parliament,
physical training?
We did physical training as well, a certain amount of how to restrain people. There was definitions. We used to walk around with a book of definitions. For example, the definition of larceny, which is stealing, and quite a lot of the names were quite Victorian. The police force itself was quite Victorian. We still had capes. We had a lamp, as it was called, which was a torch, and bolts, which were handcuffs.
Right, let's just go back to, were there any ancillary training, for example, first aid?
Yes, we had first aid training.
Did you have to pass an exam in that?
Yes, we had an exam in first aid, yeah, and a certificate.
Did you have to learn to swim, or were you a swimmer?
I was already a swimmer, but we did have swimming lessons at Cowley. We were taken up there in a minibus. I think it was about once a week.
Right, so weekly exams in the law?
Yes, more or less, yeah.
And you were taught, what, all about the police force that you were drawing?
Or a general
term?
Yes, that's right.
Right. How long were you there? 3 months, did you say?
3 months, yeah.
And then you got a posting to where?
I was posted to Witney.
On the streets?
Yes, on the streets. I was in Diggs, I was earning the grand sum of £7 a week, out of which I had to pay £3 for my Diggs.
And which police station were you at?
I was at the old police station on Church Green, which was built in about 1850.
Well, you're a bit wrong there, but not to worry.
Yeah, well, it was around that sort of time.
What was it like inside the police station? Can you actually describe the inside of the building?
Yeah, it was a typical Victorian building, obviously been modernised. There was a big coke boiler, which worked the central heating system. And it was almost a hanging offence to let the fire go out, especially as the kettle was permanently on top of the stove so that the chap on street patrol could come in and make himself a cup of tea halfway through his shift. Otherwise, you spent the whole of your 8 hours out on all winds and weathers just pounding the beat.
Were there any police cells there?
Yes, there was. I think it was four cells altogether.
Anything else at that time? Because, of course, the motor car had only just about come in 19.
Yeah, more or less.
There weren't any horses or superintendents and carriages, as we've heard in the past.
No. I believe that there was a garage there that I believe at one time had been used for the trap that was used by the horse and trap for the superintendent.
Yeah. Well, that's in the history books now. So. Yeah. How many shifts, what sort of shift work and
when
were you
doing?
Well,
we worked a 3-shift system, early shift from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we had to report 1/4 hour before duty to update ourselves with what had been going on. There was a large ledger called an occurrence book, which odd things were written in there, that things that had been going on.
What sort of things?
It could be an unusual light left on because part of our late patrol, which was from 2 till 10, we used to check all the property and the high street for security, any windows left open. There was a key holders register so that if the premises were insecure or in doubt, the key holder was called out.
So where was this register maintained?
That was in the police station.
So it's up to the shopkeeper or the premises owner?
Yes, to make sure that he kept his key holders up to date.
Right, so you got 6 to 2, 2 to 10, 10,
10
to
6. Night shift.
And how long did, say, an early shift last? A week, 10 days, fortnight, a month?
We worked 7 of each shift, followed by 1 day off. And then, so it was a rolling day, so that by the time you got through to the weekend, you had 2 days off as a weekend. There was no paid overtime. We had time off in lieu of overtime worked, but we didn't bother to claim it because there was always a minimum requirement for manpower, and they were always short, so we couldn't get the time off anyway. And Christmas Day, Boxing Day, all public holidays were normal working days, no extra pay for
right.
it at all.
Would you like just to describe coming out of the police station, walking down Whitney High Street at the time, what it was like?
Yes, of course, the traffic conditions were much quieter than they are now. It was quite a busy, typical market town, and there was a market, a cattle market, every Thursday. And so the pubs were open in the afternoons on market day, so that the farmers could do business over a pint of beer.
Did you have to supervise the market?
Yes, we were ordered. Anything that was going on, we were always expected to make a presence known. We also used to do regular pub checks, and there was another register for that to say that the time you were called. Usually you went with a sergeant, and you would check for underage drinkers, and that there was no problems, but there never really was. There was possibly about once a month a local dance in the Corn Exchange. Again, we always had to make an appearance just to show that we were around. There was no personal radios, of course. The only means of contact was the public telephone system, which was very basic in Whitney. You couldn't dial a number anywhere. Every single call, even from private houses, you lifted the receiver and waited for the operator to answer, even to make a local call, and you were put through by the operator. Because most people in those days didn't have a phone in their houses anyway.
I believe, in actual fact, your wife was a telephonist,
wasn't
she? She was
indeed. That's how we met. When I was a cadet at Banbury, we used to have to test the 999 system every morning. The telephone exchange would telephone through. It was a red telephone on top of the switchboard. And when that rang, we had to drop everything, and it took priority. So it was tested every morning. And the voice would say, "Would you call me back to test, please?" So you'd pick it up. One of the other cadets was engaged to one of the girls that worked on the telephone exchange. And so she had a little chat with me one day and asked if I had a girlfriend. And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, would you like me to fix up the date with one of the girls?" And
you've been
my
here
wife
ever
was
since.
That girl. And we've been married for 63 years.
Right, just describe the equipment you would have been carrying at the time, A, for your personal protection, and anything else. How did you communicate back to the station?
By the public telephone. That was all.
So you had fourpence in your pocket?
You had to, yes. Well, the GPO operators were very understanding. They used to put us through to the, because they knew we hadn't got tuppence left after out of my £4 a week left on my wages. I was paying for a motorbike on HP because I couldn't afford to run a car. I did buy one, but couldn't afford to run it, so I had to sell it and bought a motorbike. So out of that £4, there was £1 a week going for the motorbike as well.
So what sort of equipment did you carry for your own personal protection?
The only was just a truncheon, which was secreted in a inside long pocket down the side of the trouser leg.
Did you carry a whistle?
Yes, we had a whistle.
Did you ever use it?
I did. And I drew my truncheon once, I think, in the whole of my service.
Let's just hear, can you recall what happened with
the
junction?
I can indeed, yes. I think it was about 1962. Yes, it was. I think it was 1962. I was on night shift just before midnight. The police van, called a Black Mariah in those days, came down the street at a rate of knots looking for me. It was driven by a colleague of mine. He said, "Jump in, the silent alarm has gone off at the Blarney Cafe," which is a small transport cafe on the edge of town.
Which edge of town?
On the Burford side of town, up by Smith's Industries factory. We had 15 minutes to get there before the audible alarm sounded on the premises. We arrived and could see that the door was ajar and the window in the door was smashed, and just caught sight of a man ducking down behind the counter at the far end of the room. So I said to my colleague, "Stay here in the van," because we weren't quite sure how many people were in there. "I'll go in and you cut off anybody's coming out." So I drew my truncheon, went in and called for the man to stand up and come out. He stood up and grabbed a huge knife from the knife drawer on top of the counter. I didn't really feel threatened. It was a sort of a half-hearted movement, and his body language seemed to tell me that it was just one of those things. So I said, "Don't be silly, put it back." And he did, luckily. So I handcuffed him to myself and realised that it was an escaped prisoner who'd been circulated from Gloucester Prison. A chap called John Henry.
No, don't tell us the name.
Oh, okay. He was a well-known for escaping from every prison that he'd been in.
Right.
A prolific escapee. And he seemed quite a nice chap, strange enough. In the van going back to the police station, I was still handcuffed to him. We arrived there probably getting on towards 1 o'clock in the morning, and he explained that he'd only broken in because he'd walked from Gloucester. He was starving, hungry, saw a cafe and hoped that he could get some food, but there wasn't any. So there was no restaurants in Whitney in those days, even the pubs didn't do food. So I thought, we did make him a cup of tea, and I thought, well, his need is greater than mine.
This was back at the police station, of course.
In the police station,
you didn't make it in the cafe.
No, this was in the police station on top of the coke boiler. So I had a large sandwich box to fortify me in the winter nights with doorstep bread with cheese and Branston pickle, and also some jam tarts that my wife had made.
Well, you're married at this time?
I was married then. We just got married that year, I believe, in the August. Anyway, so I went down to this chap's cell and sat on the bunk and shared my sandwiches with him. And he said it was the best tarts he'd ever had in his life.
So you had one hand free and he had one hand free.
No, he had both hands free then.
You said you'd handcuffed him on his way in.
I did initially, yeah. But once he was in the cell, we took the handcuffs off.
Right, but he was not two hands handcuffed, just one.
No, just the one, yeah.
Whereas today, of course.
Yes, they'd be.
They double handcuff.
They double handcuff, yeah.
Yeah. Right, so that was one of your excerpts.
Yes.
Have you any amusing situations that happened? Did you stay at Whitney for very long on patrol?
I had 3.5 years on the beat, pounding. I enjoyed it, actually. You got talking to people all the time because you were stood at a phone box for a quarter of an hour every hour, which the sergeant had
so
nominated.
They could contact you.
So they came up to you talking to you.
Yeah.
So it was a good way of getting to know people, and they knew you and they'd come up and give you snippets of information.
Right, how far did Whitney extend in those days as far as your policing was concerned? You mentioned Smith's.
Yes, we did. Mostly if we covered Smith's, that was quite a way out in the periphery in those days. So that tended to be more on a cycle patrol. On the outer parts were done by an officer on a bicycle.
So how far west did Witney extend, roughly, for you to walk?
Walking probably to the top of Tower Hill, Oxford Hill, up the Hayley Road. So keeping within the town area.
Really, the main road, there weren't any housing estates as such?
No, the Smith's estate was really the only estate in those days. The Hayley Road estate, obviously, which is a council estate, and Burwell Farm was just about being built, or started to be built around that time.
Right, so you were on the streets for three and a half years.
Yes.
Then where did you go?
I always wanted to get on traffic department. And one of the traffic officers based at Witney was promoted and moved to Chipping Norton. And so that created a vacancy. And so I'd applied for traffic. And because of it, I became a traffic officer working with another officer in a black Austin Westminster with a bell on the front.
And you were a skilled driver at that time?
No, not initially. They always crewed you with a train driver for about minimum of six months, and then you went on an advanced driving course for 5 weeks.
And where did you go for that?
Which was Chelmsford in Essex. There's an advanced police driving school.
And that was successful? You passed the exam?
I got a first class certificate. And thereafter, every so often, you'd have a 2 week refresher course.
Right, so you came back to Witney and patrolled from Witney. How far did you go?
There was two main routes, the A40, which in those days, of course, carried all the London to Wales traffic because there was no motorways. So all the lorries, it was a trunk road for lorries travelling between Wales and London. So it was quite a busy area, not by today's standards, but for the time it was busy. So there, all through the night, there was every few minutes probably a lorry would come through Witney. And then the other road was what was the A34, which went from Oxford up to the Warwickshire boundary just north of Chipping Norton, which is now the A44.
Right. So, 8 hour patrols again?
8 hour patrols again. Very similar shift pattern, one day, rolling day, until reaching the weekend.
Right. And how active were you? Did you know the law, sufficient law at the time? I mean.
Yes, obviously we specialised more in traffic law, but we were still police officers, so expected to deal with crime as well, of course. So. It was a mixture of the two. And of course the breathalyzer came in while I was on traffic.
And how did you administer that?
You get a sense that something, when you look at a car, that something's not quite right.
Oh, this is your policeman's sixth sense, is
they
it?
They call it a policeman's nose, yes.
Nose, in that case.
And it is true, you have I don't know what it is, but there's just something about a way a car is being driven or the actions of the driver. Quite often people sort of put their hand up to their ear or something like that, a small movement that makes you think there's something not quite right.
So you stop them?
So you stop them, yeah.
And then what?
And take it from there.
Well, and all right, course, what did you take from from there?
From a drink point of view, you can usually smell alcohol. You say, so you then would ask, have you consumed alcohol? You could say, well, I can smell it on you, you know, so I require you to provide me a specimen of breath for a breath test.
You once stopped Ackerbilt, didn't you?
Yes, I booked Ackerbilt for speeding in the Bentley. We used to do radar, from which is work from a box initially.
At the side of the road?
At the side of the road, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the radar handheld guns came out.
That was some time later.
Yeah.
Any other instances while you were on traffic?
Road accidents, of course, featured possibly as the main thing that we dealt with. There's a lot of fatal accidents, unfortunately. So there's a lot of horror and heartbreak.
I understand that one night you were out on patrol on the road towards Abingdon when something happened and your attention was drawn to a stationary car.
Myself and my colleague were in a Lotus Cortina patrol car at the time, and we decided we'd concentrate on rural crime because even in those days there was a certain amount, so the main roads are fairly quiet, so we headed out towards Bampton and cross country, shining our searchlight into barns and in case anything was untoward. And we came up, this was again just before midnight, came across a mini car, one of the original mini little car, on the side of the road. So we went, we stopped and went to it, and there was a young couple sitting in the back seat, and they said that the car had broken down. They explained that they'd got married that day in Nottingham, and they were en route to Devon for their honeymoon when the car broke down, because they were in the middle of nowhere, no mobile phones, didn't know where the nearest phone was, and the time of night, there was hardly any traffic, so they thought they'd have to sit it out for the night. Well, of course, it was quite cold and not a very comfortable thing, so we suggested, we tried to get a garage to come out, but they didn't want to know at that time of night. So we decided, said that they might be more comfortable in the police station back in Whitney. So they readily agreed to that. So we brought them back to Whitney, made them a cup of tea. And by this time we'd moved, that same year, actually moved into the new police station in Welch Way.
Which year was that?
68. 68. Yeah. So all the equipment was new, and amazingly enough, there was no clients in any of the cells. So it was suggested that they might like to spend the night in a cell. We wouldn't lock them in, as it was their honeymoon. And so they spent their wedding night in the police station cell, and they were taken a cup of tea in bed the following morning, and then taken back to the car. A breakdown called out for them, and they found out what the trouble was with the car, sorted it, and they were on their way.
And I believe you've stayed in contact with them?
I did, many years later, almost, in fact, I think it was 48 years later, that there is, in the Daily Mail, there was a column. People used to write about little things that they'd done in their jobs or one thing and another. And I wrote in about this incident, and amazingly enough, the young couple saw it and replied to the, we were actually away on holiday when their reply came out in the paper, but the paper put us in contact with each other, and we got in touch with each other. But unfortunately COVID, we were going to have a reunion, but unfortunately COVID came along and that sort of ended that. So it was a happy ending to a good story. So they're still married, they've got great grandchildren as well.
Good. So how long were you on traffic at Whitney?
22 years.
Oh, you never moved from Whitney?
No, I'd never moved from Whitney, which is unusual for a county force, because generally speaking, about every 3 years you were moved. So you didn't become too familiar with the local populace, I suppose. But of course it got more and more expensive, so that gradually fizzled out.
Right, so when did you retire?
1984.
And having completed how many years service?
So 25 years pensionable service. My 2 years cadet service didn't count.
No. Well, you weren't a policeman at that time.
No, that's right,
were you?
No.
Have you any other stories that you'd like to tell us?
Do you want to know horrific stories or... I'm just trying to think of funny ones other than sharing my tarts with the...
Jenny, have you anything to say at this stage?
Not really, no.
She's nodding her head rather than talking to us, but there we are.
You did have those parades, didn't you?
Yes, we used to have what was called a monthly meeting, obviously every month, where we had to parade at the police station, and we were inspected by the superintendent and the inspector, told if we needed a haircut. We had to produce appointments, which was your truncheon and your handcuffs, and general appearance, make sure we were up to scratch.
There was a funny thing.
There was one funny thing, yeah. You had to pull your whistle out, and one of the chaps who'd been on nights the night before, so he had to get up especially to go there for 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So he was a little bit sleepy still. When he got to the police station, he realised he hadn't got his whistle. Well, he'd be in trouble for that. So he looked around and realised that the sink plug in the canteen was very similar to a whistle chain. So he took that off and stuck it in his pocket, and the plug in his pocket, and linked the chain to his button, as was done in those days. Anyway, the inspector was quite eagle-eyed because he stopped in front of this chap, looked at it, pulled it out gradually, and the plug popped out. He didn't say anything, he just walked on to the next office and left the plug dangling.
What did you do when you left the police force? Retire completely?
No, not at all. I was mad on driving, and strangely enough, I had a real interest in heavy vehicles, lorries and coaches. In fact, while I was still on traffic, I took a driving course in PSV, public service vehicle, got a class one license for that, and also heavy goods, HGV, got a class one certificate in that as well, which was quite useful in the police, because on several occasions, there was a stolen earth mover, giant tracked machine on the back of a low loader, and it had to be kept for evidence, so I had to go and drive this lorry and low loader, drove it to Bicester to the army camp where it was kept in storage ready for when the court case came up.
Other than that?
Also, we had radio command vehicles, and so I used to be able to drive those. The original one was an ex-army radio truck of Bedford, and then that was replaced by a Ford which had a demountable body that they could leave at the scene of somewhere.
But privately, what were you doing when you retired?
When I retired, initially, I bought my own lorry. There was a concrete company, and they used to do paving slabs and concrete products, and they wanted somebody to do the haulage because it was very seasonal. So I did that for a while, and in the winter, just round the corner from where we lived, there was a cattle feed mill. And their winter time was very busy, whereas the paving slabs were very busy in the summer. So it worked in quite well. So I was busy in the summer with the concrete products and busy with farms in the winter. But unfortunately, the concrete people went into bankruptcy, owing me considerable sums of money. So I thought, this is no good. So I got a job driving. And it ended up driving for a local company, Chris Hayter Transport, driving articulated lorries all over the country, which I loved, actually. I got to know the whole of England can go anywhere without looking at a map. It did mean nights out in the lorry, but I used to go up to Scotland, down to Cornwall, from Wales across to the East Anglia.
There wasn't perchance any chance that you were getting away from your wife at that time?
No, right? Not at all, no. She had a lot to put up with, bless her.
Right.
I did have one very funny experience with that, because I was returning from Glasgow with a full load to go to a spice factory at Tame, and the police were doing a road check on lorries, and they pulled me in, and the civilian vehicle examiner, who was employed by Thames Valley Police, was a chap I knew extremely well, in fact Jim Fitchett, In fact, when he went on holiday, I used to do his job because I was a vehicle examiner myself. And anyway, there was this line of, I pulled into this lay-by, and there was nothing else in there except myself in my lorry. And Jim was talking to two or three other officers, and he came across to my lorry. One of the police officers asked for my tachograph, which I produced, and then Jim came across and took a little hammer out of his pocket that they used to tap the wheel nuts with. You could tell by the sound of them whether the wheel nuts were tight or not. And he started doing, he didn't even look at me. So I leaned out of the window and said, "Aren't you going to speak then, you miserable so-and-so?" Well, the look of horror on all these other police officers' faces was something else, because he looked up and saw it was me. And we had a good laugh.
When did you finally put your feet up then?
I worked until I was nearly 70. And then I had blood clots in my lungs, so...
You called it a day.
Called it a day.
Right. Let's call it a day then. We've had some 70 years of policing and
yes.
driving and so forth. Thank you
yes.
very much,
not
Pat.
Not at all.
Jenny, do you want to add any comment?
No.
Emma? Any
no,
questions?
But thank you so much for
all
sharing
right,
that
all right,
with
that's
us.
That's okay.
Thank
it's
you.
Totally
we'll
different.
Call it a day at that.
I've got a picture of me in my patrol. I don't know if you've got this one, have you, John?
Are you happy for any photo to be shared?
Yes.
It
of
doesn't
course.
Say photographs on there.